Welcome to another Speaking of Schools podcast. I'm Doug Keel from South Carolina's Department of Education. Today we welcome you, as well as career and technology educators from Chester, Kershaw, Aiken, Oree, and Anderson counties. They'll be talking with the director of the South Carolina Department of Education's Office of Career and Technology Education, and their topic today is Individualized Student Success. Speaking of Schools is a weekly podcast feature from South Carolina's Department of Education, and today we're going to be talking with these five outstanding educators of excellence. So stay tuned. Individualized student success is today's topic. We're speaking of schools.
Hi, I'm Susan Flanagan, Director of the Office of Career and Technology Education for the South Carolina Department of Education. Remember when vocational education was the track for students who their plans did not include going to college? Well, we've come a long way from vocational education. Career and technology education has transformed a path for students to be both college and career ready. In our schools today, we are really making progress in things that we're doing. Please join me with a panel of leaders in the Palmetto State that we have in career and technology education, in talking about things that they've done to bring us to where we are today. Introduce you quickly to the panel, and then we're just going to talk about what we're doing. First, Leonard Williams, who is the Director of Career and Technology at the Pickens Technology Center, and Wanda Staggers, who is joining us from the post-secondary side, Orangeburg-Calhoun Tech, and Sherry Yarborough, from the Director for R.D. Anderson in the Spartanburg area, and Ralph Latai, who is the Coordinator for the Beaufort County Schools, and Ken Lake, who is the Director of the Lexington One Technology Center. And join us as we discuss where we've been, where we're going. Ken, if you would kind of like to lead our discussion.
From the very start of vocational education, the Acts of 63 and some of the origins of when I became involved with career and technology education and vocational education, it has changed dramatically. I think Leonard and I can both go back in time and tell you, even with our association, that I know all the presidents up until the current president of our association. As Leonard and I retire, there is a huge gap in between our presidencies and the current presidencies of our association. And with that, some institutional knowledge. When I came to the Lexington Vocational Center in 1981, we had about 300 students. Today at LTC, Lexington Technology Center, we serve over 2,500 unduplicated students within the calendar year. As assistant director, I knew most of the kids' first names by Christmas, and the end of the year, I knew their first and last names. And some days I don't even know my own name because I'm so busy. But the growth in change and shift in courses and opportunities for students to take classes, the infusion of academics, literacy and math, and now the Common Core have all impacted the rigor and performance of our students and the opportunities for students to succeed in college-ready and career-ready practices. I know our panelists here have additional comments about the shift and changes they've seen. So now we can open it up for their perspectives. It would be great.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've noticed over the last 15 to 20 years, I guess starting with the Pathways to Prosperity, when we got our students and parents to begin focusing on careers and beginning their career choices and selections a little earlier in their life, to do some exploration as to what they wanted to pursue in life. As you know, a four-year college degree is an expensive career exploration. And the students now realize, and I can go ahead and give a career that I might be interested in a shot. So through job shadowing, a student can find out whether or not they really want to work in that type of profession. And I've seen some students come back on fire from that job shadowing opportunity, and some come back and says, you know, that's not what I really want to do. I've got to find something else. So our school to work activities have been a great boost to career and technology education and students making choices. And then we go on to the individual graduation plans when they can begin choosing some things that are going to get them ready for that next step, either college, the four-year degree, the technical college degree, or even just going straight out to work and going to college at the same time. They're taking a good hard look at that too.
I know in Spartanburg in the upstate of South Carolina, I've only been in career and technology education as an administrator for 9 years now. But I think the opportunity we provide students and parents for relevance, why do I need this and when will I ever use it? Mm-hmm. A lot of the students that we have now coming through our career centers, their parents have been unemployed for a long time. They haven't had the economic benefits that a lot of us have had throughout our lifetimes. So they've been there when times were tough, and they understand and realize there's a connection between what we have at our centers and where they can go in their future. So the potential to make money and the potential to go on to a four-year college or to go on to a two-year college and get a degree there. But that relevance and connections that we are able to give to kids, I think, has drawn them to our centers. His enrollment's out the roof. Leonard just built a new center. We're adding 25,000 square feet right now at R.D. Anderson because we can't serve the number of kids that want to come to our center in a lot of areas. But I think the parents and the students see the relevance in what we offer. And now that we're so many more academics are involved in our centers, that we're able to draw a good student and produce a good product for our communities.
So if you're telling me that if you build it, they will come.
Yeah, if you build it, they'll come. Mm-hmm. We should make a movie.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you've got to have the right coursework in place too for the student interest, and also what positions are available in the workforce out there. That makes a difference too for the relevance.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when you look at your organization at the Office of Career and Tech Ed, back, I know you said 1981, that's when I graduated from high school, but you know, you had your basic woodworking, metalwork, home ec. That was it. Mm-hmm. Now, due to the work of the business partnerships, the feedback that goes to your office, when you look at cybersecurity, game design and development, they're in line with our economic needs.
Right.
And the parents, like it's already been stated, they can see, here's our workforce development. Here's where the jobs are. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the bright kids, they want to go into CAIT courses because they see their future based on the IGPs, the pathways to success, and it's just wonderful to see the branch out based on everybody's work, and thanks to your office, the expansion where we're not back in the Stone Age. We're moving forward with technology day after day, every year. There's new courses being reviewed to give our students that exposure, both academic, the rigor, the relevance for our workforce.
I think with some of the reform, the perception of vocational education has changed. And so where it used to be a student did a vocational track or they did an academic track, that's no longer true because some of our academic graduates are finding that they have a great deal of theory-based knowledge, but no application whatsoever, and so they're not prepared for the workforce, and vice versa. And so we're finding that students are more successful overall if we can provide the application of the foundation. So you've got the academic subjects, but you're actually applying them at our technology centers so the students see the relevance, they have better retention. I'm finding that some of our Project Lead the Way students are reporting that they're doing so much better in their math courses on their home campuses because of the way that they're applying that subject matter to problem-based situations at the technology center.
Even back years ago when I first went to the center, business ed, for example, the students came to us for business ed, you were either clerical, stenographic, or an accounting major. That was the only major that you could have. Today, are there clerical majors anywhere? Not I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. How about stenographic? Who does that? Who even thinks about that? Mm-hmm. Accounting is still a piece, but in our financial literacy, mm-hmm. it's taken on a whole new dimension and a lot more rigor. So the evolution of where we were to where we are today, when I walk in welding and I see a plasma can that students are designing with a computer and press a button, when I see them do inspections using the same equipment that's used at SRS or an industry to determine the strength and flexibility and dimensions of their welds to improve their efficiency, we're at a whole different level than we used to be. We used to just burn rods. We used to just bend nails. But today we're talking about LEED certification, green energy. We're examining the factors that go into proper construction with all new materials and different things that are current. So although we have some terminology that may be similar to what we did with vocational education, the whole picture of what we have, we opened the first commercial art program in the state. And today, digital art and design is a very sophisticated program that uses IMAC technology. And our students come ready to enter college at Clemson in graphics. We had the first student at Clemson do an international study from her training, both at the university and in high school. So I feel real, real comfortable with where our students are in terms of rigor and relevance.
I think that with what you're saying there is that that's a good testimony to our outstanding teachers in career and technology yeah. education, because they're not sitting back and just coming to work and then going home. They come to work, they teach, they research to find more, the newest and the latest and greatest to introduce our students to develop the interest. And then our students take that to another level when they say, you know, I want to study this further. And when we get to the point where in our school and in your school and others, our teachers get to a point that they become facilitators of the learning because they're grabbing those things off of the internet. Exactly. The best library in the world is the internet.
Exactly.
And that's what our students have told us, and that's what they're doing now. Then they take that piece, it inspires them if they had no intentions of taking the next step into the technical college system or the college, the four-year university system, they are inspired to take that next step and to do what it takes there.
Leonard, we found 2 years ago, we gave every high school student and all of our teachers iPads. Mm-hmm. In Kevin Gratton's welding class, the textbook and all the information is digital. So the kids have the books and everything on their iPad. They electronically send information assignments to the teacher. The teacher sends them back electronically. The mere fact that these kids live in a digital world, I look at my grandkids and what they can do with iPad and computer, I'm worried about the future. That can we keep up with the level of knowledge these students gain, the children gain, because they do have access to globally, mm-hmm. and it changes just that quick. So we need to be responsive, and our teachers do a good job, and our business partners and whatnot, but these kids are like sponges. They do a great job.
I think that probably mm-hmm. is our biggest challenge mm-hmm. right now is keeping up with the mm-hmm. technology and keeping up with those students.
Yes.
Because I have witnessed some students in this past year and been in classrooms where, boy, it isn't the same classroom that it was when I was going to school. And they're not just sitting there listening to a teacher.
Right.
You know, they are engaged, they are hands-on, project-based, mm-hmm. and the relevance.
Susan, in 1981, at the Lexington Vocational Center, about 10 to 12% of our graduates went on to post-secondary work. 88 to 90% went really to work because we had masons and we had auto tech. Uh-huh. And back then, the technology of an automobile didn't require much training beyond changing water pumps and generators and starters and those types of things. Today, our demographics look like 8% of our students go directly to work. 92 to 94% go on to post-secondary training. And that's the shift we see from vocational education to career and technology education. The kids are career and college ready mm-hmm. based on the choices they make from the selection of courses that we have to offer.
I think, Ken, in addition to those demographics, we've changed the workforce because we're graduating more females
definitely.
In non-traditional mm-hmm.
yes.
roles than we did before.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you talk
right.
about the era that you began in, mm-hmm. for a female, the choices were usually sewing or cooking
clerical,
class,
right, right.
and we didn't even imagine that our females could perform at the level of some of the male-dominated fields. And many, many of our females and minorities are going into those fields and being very, very successful at it.
That's a great point. We were notified recently from the Irmo Fire Department that one of our female graduates who's been in the field now, I think for about 5 years, is going to be certified and promoted to captain.
Wow.
And I think in the Irmo Fire Department, it's the first female that will ever hold that rank. And again, she started her career at the fire program at Lexington Technology
Center. That's fantastic. Yeah.
And Ken, I'll ask you, you were telling me just a little while ago about a female student of
yours. A young lady who is amazing. Her name is Madeline Johnson. She'll be the first completer of our Advanced STEM Center for Engineering. And she came to me as a 10th grader, interested. She heard we're building this building for engineering, and she wanted to be an electrical engineer, which she will be, by the way. She's very determined. As a 10th grader, she took the SAT and scored 2280, missed a perfect score by 120 points as a 10th grader. She was at our board meeting Tuesday night. She's applied for the National Merit Achievement Award, which is for minority students. And they had 160,000 applications. They've gone through three screenings, and now she's one of about 1,000 to get this award. So there's 159,000 students that didn't make it as far as she has. She's had a full scholarship at Texas A&M, I think Clemson, USC. She's decided on going to Georgia Tech and has over $80,000 in scholarships to go there. She is a very, very talented young lady.
Wow.
And again, years ago, she would have never come to Lexington Vocational Center, but she attributes a lot of her work and success from the Lexington Technology Center.
What do you see right now? What are the most popular programs that you have? What are students interested in?
I know in upstate where I am, I think it's a reflection of our community. Manufacturing is extremely strong in my center. Mm-hmm. We can't keep, we don't have enough seats for machine tool students and welding students. This week we had another call. One of the local companies wanted 9 students to come for co-op opportunities in welding and another 4 or 5 machinists. So we're very heavy in manufacturing. We're also heavy in health science. Those are our two most popular programs at our center, and we see a lot of success. We have a lot of industry input and buy-in, and I think those things together build your programs to where they are when you've got that industry support, and they can get jobs in high school. Mm-hmm. They'll send them on to college. They see the relevance very quickly in those program areas and are able to make an impact immediately. And a lot of times, these kids are a here and now generation, and they want to make an impact now and start now. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the two at my center that are
largest. It just depends on what area you're in South Carolina and what the employment is in that area. And I think Orangeburg Calhoun Technical College has been very instrumental in providing furthering the education of the graduates from the secondary technology centers and really preparing them to hit the workforce and running.
Down in Beaufort, I would have to say the medical. Mm-hmm. We have a great cooperative program with Beaufort Naval Hospital and Beaufort Memorial Hospital, where they go for 2 hours a day, and the military facility, the military in general in Beaufort County just supports the schools, everything, and they've opened up their facilities so they can see, as we have in our state, the MCP 101, the military career pathways, they get to see you can be a physical therapist in the military, you can be an anesthesiologist or a pharmacist. So they get to see both in the civilian sector and the military. And we have the aviation program that we've started, I guess we're on year 2 now. Of course, we have Gulfstream in Savannah, Boeing in Charleston. We have XRDI, which they do drones in Beaufort. We have the air station with the F-35s coming in. So we have that population that's aeronautically interested in it, and so we have a simulator. We have airframe and power plant that we're working with the technical college, where they actually delivered a Cessna to our Battery Creek High School for the kids to work on. They use it at night, we use it during the day, and that's really sparked an interest with that whole aviation piece, as they call it, the aviation corridor.
Right, right. Ken Lexington?
Our STEM programs have probably seen the biggest change. We've shifted in a K through 12 STEM program. 3 years ago, we had 460-some students involved in a STEM curriculum at the secondary level. A year ago, it was 800 and some odd students. This year, it's 1,200. We expect maybe 1,600 to 1,800 students next year involved with STEM across the district. So it's been a huge growth. Been fortunate to hire some engineers to come on board and teach. Mm-hmm. But the hardest part is finding the right teacher. But mm-hmm. We've been real fortunate.
Pickens?
We have three strong programs. Our agricultural program is very strong. We have the animal science curriculum, horticulture, and ag mechanics, basically from what's located around us in Pickens County, and the needs of the industry and the interest of the students. Health science is a huge program that has grown over the last few years, with students coming out with their certified nursing assistants certification. And then our manufacturing program in Spartanburg is growing by leaps and bounds. And what's happening there is these manufacturing programs are driving our economic development in Pickens mm-hmm. County. We're producing skilled workers, and they're going out, as you said, on co-ops, internships between their junior and senior year, and they're working with master craftsmen learning the trade. And then we've started developing some apprenticeship programs that have started growing real well. Industries come in and adopted us. We have to have their support and their backing in our programs. And they've donated, they brought in a robot for us to build a work cell with that they're putting on their manufacturing floor. And our students did real well with that because they had to do the research to figure out how to make it work. And it wasn't a teacher-driven thing, it was a student-driven thing, and they're very proud of their accomplishments there. But manufacturing's growing, and it's different manufacturing. You have to work smarter these days to compete globally, and that's what we're training our students to do.
And if any of us have been to the BMW plant or the mm-hmm. Boeing plant, mm-hmm. it's not the manufacturing and factories of our fathers, and it is just unbelievable, the technology.
Exactly.
They're so technically proficient on the assembly line. When you see the robots picking up pieces, and it's just...
Mm-hmm. What they're doing, the industry's doing in our area, is not only are they hiring our students, but they're putting together education packages mm-hmm. for them. Mm-hmm. So you figure when you look at an education, you should look at it as an investment. Mm-hmm. And so a student that gets someone else to pay for their education and offer them a job at the end has a great return on their investment. Oh, yeah. And that's what these businesses are doing for our students. GE, BMW, Michelin, even our smaller manufacturing companies of Cornell Dublier, United Tool and Mold in our area are backing our students with some money for continuing education.
And I think the shift, too, is a general shift in the public perception. I traveled to Steelcase Industries in Michigan not too long ago, and at their college that they train their engineers and performance workers, their motto is, education is the engine that drives the economy. And if our public now, because of economic developments over the past, realize that for economic sustainability, that education is a linchpin, the key to students' goals and objectives and performance, and that's where we sit. We never sat there before because we weren't really challenged, and education for some was a choice. And our economy years ago could take dropouts and have ample jobs for those students not to have even a high school diploma. But today that doesn't exist in this economy. And everything you said about manufacturing hits home about the need for education being the dominant factor in choices for students in their future.
And I think the focus is also because of the drive by industry, the focus is changing from a student just completing school a student leaving school with a list of competencies that the industry desires.
A real credential.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have other segments in our series. There's going to be one that's going to be devoted mostly to industry involvement and getting the message out about what we are. We're not what we used to
no,
be. There's so many opportunities out there for students, but we have to make sure that students and parents know that that opportunity
That's
is
right.
out
exactly.
there. And we hear so much from employers, we've got the jobs, we can't find the
right.
workers. Well then, it's our challenge, it's our task to prepare them. And I think you all are doing just such a great job. I know we have two members of the panel who are, I affectionately call them mature CTE educators. but, and we'll have further discussion about, you know, other people who can bring us into the forefront.
Yeah. Great.
So I appreciate your time today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Susan Flanagan. Thanks, Lee Green. Also, Chet Horton, Brooke Smith, David Studemeyer, and Sherry Anderson, our five educators of excellence who joined Susan Flanagan, the director of the Office of Career and Technology Education at the State Department of Education, for today's podcast. Today's podcast, the audio portion of a video produced for the Department of Education by South Carolina Educational Television. Speaking of schools, our weekly podcast from South Carolina's Department of Education is heard each week at this website, and we thank you for being with us and for keeping up with some of the happenings in education around the Palmetto State. We also appreciate very much the pleasure of your company and invite you to join us again next week when once again, we'll be speaking of schools.